from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Paul Lancour, in for Rachel Miro. For the first time in a decade, California's gloomy state budget picture is looking a little brighter. A new analysis by the Legislative Analyst's Office finds the state's economic recovery, prior budget cuts, and the additional temporary taxes provided by Proposition 30 may spell the end of a long period of budget challenges.
Definitely, this is a much, much more positive situation than we've faced in many, many years. I mean, it's on the whole pretty good news.
That's legislative analyst Mac Taylor speaking to Capital Public Radio. The forecast by his office indicates California leaders face a dramatically smaller budget problem in 2013. And if the economy continues to grow and legislators use caution in restoring some of the program cuts made in recent years, there is a strong possibility of multi-billion dollar budget surpluses within a few years. The University of California Regents are looking ahead to next year now that Prop 30 has prevented deep, automatic cuts to public education. This morning, the Regents will convene in their third day of meetings. Reporter Caitlin Esch says yesterday's gathering was notable for the appearance of one of the more high-profile Regents, Governor Jerry Brown.
UC Regents delayed a vote this week on tuition hikes for several professional degree programs. Yesterday, Governor Jerry Brown attended the meeting and made a personal plea urging Regents to keep tuition down by finding creative ways to cut costs, for example, through offering more online courses.
Tuition increases are not avoided by anything less than heroic efforts to make some changes that I think can be made if we have the political will.
The Regents approved a budget plan for next year that would fill vacant faculty positions, reduce class sizes, and give raises to faculty and administrators. Regents Chair Sherry Lansing said no one wants to raise tuition.
So we have to be more aggressive, more nimble, and really redefine what it takes to have a sustainable financial model so that this university can provide the access and the quality that we all care so much about.
But Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, who is also a regent, said he didn't see how tuition would not go up, so he voted against the budget plan.
I can't support it because this is a kind of fuzziness that I think we need to stop. We need to create a pattern interrupt here. It's absolutely true. This is what we typically do.
The plan approved by the Regents contains many variables. For example, it still includes the nearly $21 million the fee hikes would bring. It also budgets a significant increase in out-of-state students and asks the state for nearly $300 million over last year. For the California Report, I'm Caitlin Esch.
The Democratic majority in the state assembly is officially a supermajority. Incumbent Republican Assemblyman Chris Norby yesterday conceded to Democratic challenger Sharon Quirk Silva in their Orange County race. That means Democrats will have 54 of the 80 seats in the Assembly next year. Along with the two-thirds majority in the Senate, Democrats have their first supermajority in the state legislature since 1883. California has taken a key step in implementing a health care exchange. The board overseeing the exchange in the state has sent their operational plan to Governor Brown. He's expected to forward it to the Obama administration tomorrow. Tomorrow is the deadline for states to notify the federal government whether they will establish such an exchange under the Affordable Care Act. So California is ahead of the game with a plan already in place. This is in advance of the deadline to have those exchanges operational by January 1st, 2014. A new study finds flame retardants, chemicals used to make household items more fire-resistant, are linked to lower IQs and poorer coordination in children. The California Report's health reporter Mina Kim explains.
The UC Berkeley study focuses on the effects of PBDEs. That's a class of flame-retardant chemicals widely used in California in furniture, baby products, and electronics until they were phased out in 2004 out of concerns they were toxic. Still, the flame-retardant continues to leach out of older household products, says the study's lead author, Brenda Eskenazi. She's a professor of maternal and child health at UC Berkeley.
The couch that I own was purchased before 2004. As the foam in that couch disintegrates, the PBDEs will enter into the dust particles. And if I had a child that was crawling on the floor, that child would be exposed to that dust.
The study used data taken from blood samples of more than 270 children when they were in their mother's wombs and again 7 years later. The children received a battery of tests to gauge their attention span, fine motor skills, and IQ.
What we saw was that children had more problems in relationship to the amount of PBDEs in their mothers or their blood.
Officials with the American Chemistry Council, which represents the chemical industry, said in a statement that they will need time to more thoroughly analyze the findings, but noted a link is not clear evidence of a cause-and-effect relationship. The study appears in today's issue of the journal Environmental Health Perspectives. Eskenazi recommends mopping, vacuuming, and washing hands frequently to help reduce exposure to PBDEs. For the California Report, I'm Mina Kim.
California ratepayers are paying $64 million for seismic studies to see if the state's two nuclear power plants might be more at risk from earthquakes than previously thought. But that work isn't going to get done anytime soon now that the State Coastal Commission has denied a permit. From KPBS in San Diego, Allison St. John reports.
More than 150 people packed the Coastal Commission meeting yesterday to consider the permit for a test involving high-powered air guns, which would shoot high-decibel sound waves deep into the ocean floor off the central coast. The seismic tests would help assess conditions around the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. But Michael Jasny of the Natural Resources Defense Council says the testing would cause tremendous harm to marine mammals.
The ocean is an acoustic world. It's a world of sound, not of sight. An adult blue whale has trouble seeing its own flukes in the water, but a blue whale can communicate through song over distances of hundreds, even thousands of miles. Like dynamite, air guns put out intense broadband noise across the frequency spectrum.
Coastal Commissioner Dana Bochco says the plant operator, PG&E, explained to her what the sound waves would do.
They did convince me that there is a target there, 7 or 8 miles below the ocean, that would give them some more information about the Hosgrave Fault and how it dips down and goes maybe under the plant, maybe not.
Bod Bochco says when she asked if finding the fault line would prove definitively if the nuclear power plant was safe or not, PG&E said it was highly unlikely.
And if it's not going to tell you, then why am I doing this to the ocean?
A specialized ship has already been brought from the East Coast to do the studies, but without a permit, they won't happen at Diablo Canyon or at San Onofre, north of San Diego. The state's Public Utilities Commission had ordered the studies as a condition of the license renewal process. For the California Report, I'm Allison St. John in San Diego.
That's the California Report for Thursday, November 15th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Paul Lancour. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California, and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com.